Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Steve Butler as my special expert guest. Steve Butler is a master back healer, ISSA certified fitness trainer and specialist in performance nutrition, and a yoga therapist. Steve was born with no discs in his low back, a mid-back scoliosis, and a reverse curve on his neck. At 7 years of age, he began experiencing severe neck pain, migraines, and even blackouts. At the age of 9, his first x-rays revealed the spine of a 90-year-old man. Throughout his teens, Steve had severe pain, especially when playing competitive sports. By his early 20s, he was unable to walk for long periods of time, and soon his headaches became debilitating. Steve used a pressure-based treatment similar to acupressure to relieve his neck pain and never experienced a headache, migraine, or blackout again. But his low back pain remained, so he immersed himself in the research and trial of many therapies, including chiropractic, all forms of massage, Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, acupressure, acupuncture, weight training, yoga, nutrition, breath work, and energy work. The first day Steve experimented with breathing techniques, he experienced an immediate release of all pain and tightness. Combined with his own miraculous recovery, continuous research, and feedback from clients, Steve developed his unique back healer method. Good morning, Steve, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Good morning, Corey. Thank you very much.
Well, what an incredible story you've got, and I'm just wondering from your own lips if you could give us sort of a nutshell encapsulation of what it was you went through and how that brought you into this mode of healing and formation of this method that you have popularized.
Yes, certainly, Corey. You know, being born with no discs in the spine of a 90-year-old man, my dad actually was the same, and my sister was the same. And both of them had surgery to try to fuse those vertebrae together and make them function better. And both of them were very sore and stiff and didn't seem to help too much. So that wasn't the way that I had wanted to go in my life. So I tried fitness and exercise and food and nutrition and everything you can imagine for, you know, about 30, 40 years to try to come up with a method that would help myself first. And then I applied that to other people and learned a great deal about the way people respond to chronic long-term pain. Yeah, it's been quite an incredible journey. I'm pain-free now, which is wonderful. I do a little bit of exercise, yoga, and breathing every day, and it keeps my body fit and healthy. I've learned a great deal about back pain and the natural process of healing over the years.
By the way, what are some of the sports that you played when you were growing up?
Well, I started playing hockey when I was 4 years old. So basically, when I could walk, I started playing hockey. I played competitively for many years, played college hockey, played college volleyball, went to the nationals when I was 19 or 20, but competed in great deals of pain and wasn't able to, I don't think, really express my abilities because of the way that my body functioned. I started weight training when I was 14 years old. I bought my own little Weider plastic cement weight sets and started weight training to try to build my body and to build strength. I basically played every sport, but those are the ones that I was competitive at.
So through this process, you're living with pain. Now, did you take any advice from any of the coaches or doctors and start taking some of the pain medication that they typically offer?
We lived in Hunter Mile House, which is a little small town in BC. So my mom would drive me to the chiropractor in Williams Lake a couple times a week, which is an hour there and an hour back. I didn't get much relief from chiropractic. I've never been into drug therapy much. I've tried low back set when the muscle spasms. I've tried lots of anti-inflammatories, that type of method. But for me, because my father and my sister had kind of gone through that approach and had done the surgeries and had done the medication, it wasn't something that I had felt that would be beneficial to myself. And I actually really wanted to learn more about what was going on and how to fix it for myself. So I didn't get into that too much. I'm fairly familiar with drug therapy. I think that drugs are fine for a short period of time, but chronic long-term pain, you won't heal anything by, you know, they don't heal anything. They're just basically helping you get by.
But I guess you can fall into that management system if you're unaware of some of the other therapies that you discovered through your own investigation.
Yeah, well, when you're in chronic pain, I'm not sure if you've ever had any, but if you've had long-term chronic pain, it's quite debilitating emotionally, physically as well. And so just to get some relief, many people will fall into that. And it is very understandable, especially since our medical system has a tendency to use that type of drug therapy as what they suggest. You go to emergency if your back goes into spasm or whatever, and that's what they give you. They give you some drugs, they give you some morphine, and they tell you to go home and lay down and rest. So there are not a lot of great solutions for long-term chronic pain in the body. And so, you know, the doctors in our society are kind of playing blind in a way and doing the best that they can with the knowledge that they have. But unfortunately, it's not a healing method. It's just more of a, hey, let's get you through the day and see if we can make you feel a little bit better.
Did you experiment with ice therapy, the cryogenic concepts? And if you did, what did you discover from that experience?
I think ice is fantastic. I've never done, you know, any kind of cold saunas or, you know, when I was a kid, there wasn't a lot of this stuff, right? You know, this is like 40 years ago. But we did ice and heating and those types of therapies, which I think are great. Ice is excellent for helping get rid of some inflammation. Long-term chronic pain, I don't think, it depends on the person, but doesn't work well. I think most of the difficulty we have is actually that the muscles are in chronic spasm and they've created patterns. So getting rid of the chronic muscular contraction and getting them to repattern themselves is really a function of the brain. And so it's something that has to be changed. That patterning has to be changed. Ice works fine sometimes for short periods of time.
So it's palliative and it doesn't really address the underlying cause. So this back healer method now that you came up with, and I assume you gave it that name, can you talk to us about that? Tell us how the method works?
Yeah, I sure can. The back healer method, it's just a cool name. I like the name. The real principle behind it is resetting the small brain. So what happens in the body is that as we develop muscular patterning, it's all based on how the small brain functions. And the small brain is an automatic functioning brain which controls respiration, digestion, elimination, all the automatic functions of the body. And muscle tone is an automatic function of the body. So when we walk around, we don't really think about it too much. And so in my research, what I found was that the chronic continued contraction of the musculature was actually patterned by that, the small brain, and we needed to fix that. We needed to fix the nervous system and the way the nervous system is responding to what's happening in the body. So we have people, you know, with herniated discs and just any kind of chronic pain that you can imagine, and it doesn't matter what the diagnosis is, because really the key is to get the body to stop using the same patterning of protection. It's protecting itself and allowing that to unload itself. So as I started to research, I realized it was a brain thing. You know, even though I had done all the training and all the strengthening and all that I could do to try to get my body to be stronger and more fit, it wasn't effective at fixing the chronic pain. So I started learning to do breathing techniques through the yoga that I had been doing. I've been doing yoga for about 15 years. Studied pranayama, which means breath control, and increasing the volume of oxygen into the body and getting rid of the acids in the body and resetting the way that the body responds to pain and stimulus was really the key for the vacuolar method. So the vacuolar method really involves a breathing patterning that we teach people, using balls on the floor, small little hard balls to create stimulus in the body, and then movement pattern later on once the body and the muscle tissue becomes somewhat supple, meaning that when you press on it, it releases. So that means that the brain has then reset its muscle patterning. And so it's basically what the vacuolar method. It just takes a lot of things that have been around for many, many years, breathing techniques from yoga, physio uses small balls, yoga, all this stuff combined into a method, and we personalize it for people based on what their experience is of their back and their chronic pain.
So if I call you and make an appointment and I come in for the first time, let's say complaining of some low back pain, what is your approach from there?
First of all, we talk and I get an experience of how you're experiencing the pain in your own body. One thing I have learned is that when somebody tells me they're in pain, they are in pain. There's no judgment. They might not have any mechanical issues as far as the way their joints are moving, but they still may be in chronic pain. So one of the things I do is I really allow people to express what's going on in their body first. because they know better than anybody what's happening in their own body or the way they're experiencing it. Then what I do is I do an actual standing evaluation of a person and how their body is standing based on their alignment. Although alignment, there's no perfect alignment, we like to see how the body's responding in that moment to their pain. So the body will adjust itself to try to get itself out of pain as best as it can. And again, another automatic function. Then we lay a person down on the floor on a mat. We teach them our breathing technique. Everything we do is on the floor because the body needs to be in an unloaded state for it to unload the muscle tissue and the tendon tissue. And then I just basically push around on their body in certain spots that are kind of trigger points for people. And we find out what's going on with that particular person and how their body has responded to their pain. And then we make a program up for them to go and do at home. So it's really a self-care method that, you know, and then they come back and see me when they need to based on how quickly they're responding. So it's very individualized, but it's always the same method, which is breathing, releasing of the tissue through the ball therapy that we use, and then movement patterns when the body's ready for that.
So when people come in with, say, low back pain, do you find that some of it is caused by sleeping incorrectly or sleeping on the wrong type of mattress?
It can be. Basically, chronic back pain is caused by compression. So it's caused by the fact that the tissues of the body have compressed themselves, not allowing the blood to flow in, not allowing the inflammation and the acids to flow out. And so a lot of times when people sleep, their brains are functioning, they're dreaming, they may have bad dreams, good dreams. By movements, they can put their body in alignment or out of alignment by sleeping. I always used to think it was my mattress for a long period of time that was causing some of my pain when I got up in the morning. But I don't see that happen anymore. People who have, you know, herniated discs or really serious problems, the bed doesn't make any difference. If you just have tightness in your body or you're a restless sleeper, then you can benefit a little bit from changing a mattress or sleeping on a harder surface. But it's so individual that you can't say that it affects everybody the same.
Obviously, the way we sit in front of a computer and if we have that type of employment that forces us into that position, that must be a factor too. What about the training, Steve? Is there certain exercises that when you see a client and show them the therapy, do you send them away and say, okay, this is what I recommend that you do in the gym or at home on a mat or whatever?
Yeah, we have a lot of people come in and ask us about that, and they are looking for ways that they can go to the gym and to work out and to what kind of exercises that would help their back. And what we found, though, is that most of the time when somebody's in chronic pain, the exercises don't fix chronic pain. Exercise is really great for acute injury. So, you know, you blow out a knee or you blow out a shoulder, then, you know, physiotherapy and exercise, and that works really, really well for fixing acute pain. But as soon as the body has made patterns of muscular movement, it's very difficult to retrain with doing exercise. So what we find is actually we have to unload the muscle first. There's many methods of doing it. We use a ball, but you could do massage, you could do IMS. There's many different ways of doing it. Unfortunately, it needs to be done on a daily basis to change the patterning of the brain. So when we give exercises to people, we give exercises when the muscular tissue has repatterned itself and become supple. And then when we give exercises, exercises are very specific to the movement pattern of the person that they have already. So, you know, things that I like are a cobra posture or child's posture on the floor in unloaded movements. When we're going to the gym and we're doing our exercises, if we have some pelvic instability, I like lunges. I'm not a big fan of squats when the body is misaligned because you're using the same movement patterns in both legs. So I try to get people to go away from those types of movements. Core training is, you know, I could talk about that for hours. It's kind of a myth in a sense, doing a lot of ab crunches sort of will actually make the body worse. So exercise is really difficult because we're, you know, we're so trained that if we exercise and we do more strength training that we're going to get better. And this is not necessarily true for people in chronic pain. So that's a long discussion exercise because, you know, some people benefit very well from exercise, but people with long-term chronic pain don't benefit that well from exercise until their body becomes supple and they've repatterned their movement patterns.
So talking about the small brain and the brain being the seat of emotion, are emotions playing a role in some of this physical pain as well in some of your clients? Oh,
definitely. I think that there's so many factors when it comes to chronic pain, not just physical and mechanical, but mental, how a person perceives what's going on in their body, how they're responding emotionally. You know, a lot of people in chronic pain can be over-emotionalizing things and because they've been there for a long period of time, the way a person talks about it, the energy of the body and how the body is either being, you know, that energy is not flowing or being trapped. So there's a lot of factors that have an impact on how the body is functioning and pain in the body. You know, I've done a lot of research, and one of the big boys in back health is Dr. John Sarno, and he's 90. He's just recently changed all his methods, and all he does is counseling now. He gives 4 hours of counseling, and 75% of his people get better just by changing the way a person's perceiving what's going on in their body. You know, it's really based on response to pain, stress, and trauma. And so when we can change the way that we do that, which is what the breathing is all about, then the body will respond differently and not go into contraction and not get all tightened up and all stressed out. And that's what we're trying to really teach people, are those types of techniques.
I heard someone say that was into yoga and Ayurvedic that were mouth eaters and nose breathers. Are you big on the nose breathing? And maybe you can talk a little bit about breath and respiration and how important that is, and maybe how few people actually breathe correctly or potentially fill up those lungs.
Yeah, definitely. I would say every single person I've ever taught, whether they're an athlete, even some yoga people, were really taught incorrectly about how breathing works. I'm a fan of nose breathing. When we open our mouth, our body goes into fight or flight. So immediately when you open your mouth, your body increases adrenaline and cortisol. And we can see this. I like to watch the UFC fighting or boxing on TV. And you can see this as soon as somebody gets tired or they have a bit of lactic acid buildup in their body opens their mouth, trying to increase some more oxygen, and their body immediately increases adrenaline and cortisol. So one of the things that we can do to keep the nervous system calm and to not respond is to breathe through the nose. And as soon as we breathe through our nose, our body and nervous system will begin to calm itself down. The muscles of respiration and how we use our body to breathe, sometimes people aren't understanding it. You know, taught a lot of times about breathing with the belly and expanding the belly, which is really not the correct way to do it. The real correct way to breathe is when the transverse abdominis and the pelvic wall fire together and pull the diaphragm down. So really we need to learn to engage those muscles around the belly button just a little bit. And I like to talk about activating them so that the muscles of respiration can work properly. I believe that the more oxygen that we put into the body, the better our body's going to function. It's going to become more alkaline. We're going to be able to get rid of more acids in the body. And most pain in the body is actually lactic acid. It's muscles being in contraction filled up chronically with lactic acid. And so we need to get rid of that in our breathing, in our diet, in the stress levels. And the breathing I've found is the most effective way to do that.
You know, when I work with friends and clients in the gym and we're pumping iron and training hard to build the muscle mass and all that, I find that the ecto, Steve, the lean, hard gainers, at the end, when we get into the stretching and the meditation and the breathing, that's their absolute favorite part.
Mm.
So, and sometimes I just get people to say, like, lie down, just lay down right now and then bring everything down, because don't you find that most of us are up all the time and driving adrenaline up, and we don't know how to relax throughout the day.
That's correct. Yes. And it's unfortunate because that's what really causes a lot of stress and trauma in our body, right? It's our responding to the environment in an improper manner, because I always tell people it's like driving your car down the street at 100 miles an hour. You know, you can't respond to things properly. You can't get information and respond properly to it. So when you slow everything down, you have an ability then to control and change the responses to the things that are going on in our life. I find it interesting that you say the ecto people have like that the most, because I find them the hardest people to calm down because they're firing at such rapid paces most of the time in their nervous systems, which I think is why they are hard gainers. Is that what you experience too, as well?
They're resistant to it. Like, yeah. His son, he's 6'6", he's a true ecto, he's just hyped out all the time.
Yeah.
And to get him to lie down. Now, when we went on a canoe trip, and, you know, pushing him through that, he resists the quietness and the solemnity. But when he gets into the zone, he says, "Dad, this is absolutely incredible. I love it."
Right.
So there's this resistance. So I think even with Frank Zane and the idea of brain entrainment, you know, the high-tech way to alter your state of mind from theta to beta to delta, and then meditation, of course, different techniques. So this is all about stabilizing the brain, and then all you do is get people to lay down and breathe and straighten out a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I find, you know, it's interesting that just to go back to the ectomorphs, what I find is that with those people is that they need some type of wringing out their nervous system first. So, you know, hard, intense activity, exercise for them gets rid of that kind of overall base going really fast, and then they're able to get somewhat into some breathing and some meditative practices. So I always, sometimes the people that are really vata-oriented, meaning in their mind a lot, really racing in their mind, I should get them to do exercise first or yoga first, and then get into the breathing and the meditation instead of the other way around. So some of the endos can go right into the meditative practices fairly quickly. So I find that extremely interesting based on body typing and how we respond to things, basically, right? So,
absolutely. I totally agree. And I think it's important to understand what the animal is before we start recommending whatever strategy.
And everybody responds differently to even to training, right? You've been doing this so long, you know everybody's responding differently to a particular exercise and how you're feeding the body and how everybody needs a little bit of something different, although there are overriding principles that everybody responds to, right?
Yeah, that's very well put. That's absolutely true. What about nutrition, Steve? Are you big on that? Are you into the vegan concept? Are you a paleo or the so-called balanced diet? What's your trip taking all that stuff?
Yeah, I'm not into any of those, actually. It's, again, about the person. It's about who they are. It's about their type. It's about what their goals for their body are, what they're doing on a regular basis for their activity and exercise. A few keys that I really like to teach people with nutrition is stabilizing blood sugar. I think that's probably number one most important thing that we can do with our food. Eating, you know, small meals a day. As soon as the body goes into a stress state, meaning it doesn't have any blood sugar, you know, it releases adrenaline, releases cortisol, releases glucagon. So that re-impatterns the brain in a stress state. So that's number one for me, is stabilizing the blood sugar level. No sugar, no processed crappy foods, bread, stuff like that. Alkalizing the body can be difficult with nutrition if the body is in contraction a lot, because we're producing so much lactic acid that it's very difficult to alkaline the body with food. But once the body calms down, then eating more alkalining foods is helpful. Also, we need also to watch a bit of the heating foods when we have a lot of chronic pain in the body. So anything that creates too much heat in the body will create more inflammation, will not allow us to calm our body down very much. So those are kind of my overriding principles of nutrition. As far as what food choices people make, good sources of protein are really good. You know, lots of essential fatty acids, really important. I'm a big fan of hemp seed for myself personally. Works fantastic. Tons and tons of water and not too many stimulants. So pretty basic overall principles, but I think they work pretty good for what we teach people.
Yeah, sounds excellent. What about the supplements for, say, anti-inflammation? Have you found anything to be useful along with your pain management technique?
Essential fatty acids, I think, are one of the best things that I have found. I think what happens a lot of times is that dehydration of the body through water and fat, not having the proper amounts of those two things. So it seems to me that dehydration is not only because of water, but because of proper fats in the system too as well. So I see a lot of people drinking a lot of water, but they don't seem to be able to retain it properly, you know, not having the good fats to rebuild some of the tissue. Essential fatty acids help to rid our body of P3, prostaglandin, which is the inflammation creator. So I think that's number one I try to teach people. I load them up, you know, 5, 6, 7 tablespoons every single day until their body has enough good fats in it. Magnesium can work well, too, as well, for sometimes from the muscle balance between the magnesium and calcium is out of balance. Magnesium being the softener and calcium being the hardener, so magnesium can work really well. I like baking soda. Baking soda being a lactic acid buffer, which is fantastic for alkalining the body. A quarter tablespoon of baking soda, non-aluminum baking soda, in a little bit of warm water, and you shoot that a couple times a day, it makes a big difference. Some people really respond well to B vitamins and stress vitamins, vitamin C. Yeah, so those are kinds of the things I've found. You know, I've been into supplements a lot in the past. Didn't find they worked really well for me. I found that when I did really good on my protein, my carbs, and my fats with good water intake, that my body regulated itself very well, and I didn't need large amounts of different kinds of supplements. I like green drinks, though. They're very good. Kind of whole food supplements are the ones I really like.
Yes, yeah, for sure. That's excellent advice. That's excellent. What about your website, Steve, the address, and what will we find there when we get to it?
The address is thebacular.com. And what you're going to find is a bit of information about me. We have a lot of testimonials there. People have used the system. We are really trying to get a lot of people blogging for us. I do a training program where I teach physios and doctors and trainers to do the Bacular method and apply it to their particular practice. So we see a lot of people trying to build up the blog so that we're getting people to write different articles from different perspectives. You know, we have a few videos. We're trying to expand. We'd love to do an online education thing in the future. That would be my real goal. Because the basic back principles are the same for everybody. The body needs to open up, needs to relax, needs to re-stress. So that's kind of what we're doing on the website. We're trying to educate people more. People are very miseducated on what back pain is and how the back functions and what how to heal it. And it's simple, but not simple. You know, just like nutrition. It's like simple, but not simple.
Right?
There's a lot to it. But to make it, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you can get so in-depth into every little thing, but the basic principles are the same for every person.
Yes.
And it's just how they're applied that's different. So for us, it's a lot of education, trying to educate people differently. We work with lots of doctors and physios and chiros, and, you know, we're big on trying to get everybody on the same page. And things are changing a lot in medical society, and people are really becoming much more open to, especially the retraining of the brain. So this is something that's really big nowadays and something that we're trying to learn more on and teach more on. And so that's what you're going to find on our website. You know, we can be contacted through our website. We do some education. We have a nice course that we teach. It works really well. We're trying to do more lay person stuff in the future so that we can teach people principles of getting their backs better. But, you know, we teach self-care, a lot of self-care stuff. You know, we have classes that we teach on a daily basis for people that can, they can come twice a day so they can learn how to use the technique. It's inexpensive, and that's what you'll find there.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I've got a lecture series coming up on life extension, and I'd like to end off with this, with a comment.
Great.
From you.
Definitely.
If I'm in my mid-50s. Are you in your 50s yet, Steve?
48 in a couple of weeks.
There you go. Soon to be an old man, huh?
Soon. Well, we're not old, buddy. I'm getting better. I don't know about you.
Right on. So we're where we're at, and we're moving forward, and there's a lot of stuff going on today. Where should we focus our mind on if life extension, wellness, optimum health is what we want? What do we need to do? What are some of the main principles you think are really important?
I think a couple main principles that we need to look at. One is unloading what we think is true, getting out of some of the patterns that we've created, even our thoughts about exercise and what really is healthy exercise. You know, a lot of people who exercise intensely for many, many years die early. I think balance is a key thing when it comes to your health. I would say breathing and food are most important, creating a balanced approach to those things. And the last thing I would say mentally is to let go of stuff, right? To let go and not carry stuff around too much, not be too worried, to create a mindset of things come and things go. And we need not to be big responders to things. We just need to be people who view things and let them go, not judge them too much. And say your mental approach to life is what longevity is all about. You know, we hear people who drink scotch and smoke cigarettes, and they live to be 90, 95. And then we see people who are fit as a fiddle, and they drop dead when they're 40. So I think the real key is to really have a balanced approach in your mind and to create things that you enjoy in life and do that every single day and do exercise every day, eat well, good water, lots of breathing. I think those are the most important things as far as longevity goes.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's excellent. Steve Butler has been my special expert guest on this edition of SNU. Steve is a master back healer. He is an ISSA certified fitness trainer, a specialist in performance nutrition, and a real genuine, authentic man who's concerned with healing and helping people overcome all of the issues that relate to pain management. Steve Butler, thank you very much.
Thank you, Corey. I really appreciate it.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle, new way of life. Listen, it's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see ya changing heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.